You guess, But how deep, exactly? Like this? Or like that? The dwarf used his hand to indicate the alleged depth of the bow. I think it was the way you showed the second time. Those good-for-nothings! I should chop their legs off at the knees so that they would bow properly. Well, I'll punish them for their impertinence later. Right. I hope this incident did not spoil the pleasure of visiting our city. Oh, by no means. I'm not that big on ceremony, bowing, and all that other stuff. Oh, but you should be. Your status demands it, so you should not neglect even the smallest details. So, all right then. Therefore, the capital has made a good impression, and I'm certain no one has been a nuisance to you in any way. Could I ask you a question in this respect, then? A trifle? Nothing important? Sure, go right ahead. Why would you want to rub shoulders with all these wastrels when His Imperial Majesty was waiting for you? He's been asking about you since this morning, and he has a lot of important business to attend to, so you really should have hurried up. You have no further reasons for testing his patience, I hope. I guess I don't. That was the only reply Ross could think of. In that case, would you kindly follow me? The Emperor awaits. Not a single triumphant warrior of the antiquity could have imagined something like this in his fondest dreams. A ridiculously naive noob who tried to find his way to an NPC made nearly inaccessible due to the Second World mechanics didn't just get lucky. He managed to break every mold. Not a single player was ever showered with such honors here. The scene only lacked a red carpet, but eyewitnesses would certainly mention it in their accounts of the incident. There were excited players, all abuzz in every direction. Some were vocal enough in the expression of their feelings for their voices to rise above the din. Who the hell is that, anyway? Some total noob. Level 67, I think. That's like no one at all. He's got a silly name, too. Hey, you there. 100 golden pieces if you tell me how you managed to get in. I'll pay 200 if you tell no one but me.
300! 300! I'll pay you 300! Just don't tell them anything.
400!
Damn, I'm at 206, and it's my second week in the queue while this absolute nobody just had to turn up, and Bob's his uncle.
I guess we should delete our characters. The Emperor apparently favors noobs now.
Did you see the guards salute him? Well, I'll be damned.
Hey, Bubble, add me to your friend list. We have a lot to talk about. You won't regret it.
While they were shouting all this, the gates to the palace garden opened in front of Ross. That's where the Emperor of the West decided to meet him. Ross recognized a familiar aroma and grimaced. Those were the very weird flowers that grew in such abundance around the arch, used by wannabe poets as a podium for reciting their drivel. Although the conversation with Cody Mitchell engaged all of his attention, and he didn't notice any distractions much, it could be that a previously unknown genius read an opus that would make him immortal from the top of the arch around that time. The Emperor was a man of large stature, well into his years. He didn't rise from the carved armchair that had stood in a spacious marble pavilion. He must have somehow noticed Ross's reaction to the aromas in the garden and said in an even and somewhat weary voice,
"I see the aroma of the poet's lotus does not agree with you. I'm not too fond of it either, but these flowers have one very rare and very useful property. Are you aware of it? Their aroma reveals everything that is hidden." "That's right. As you may have noticed, I am receiving you on my own. My entourage and my guards have all been sent away, and the flowers will not let anyone approach us undetected. I assume that the message you are bearing is highly confident. The Emperor froze rigid, staring right in front of him.
His jaw got twisted in an ugly grimace. Ross started to suspect a stroke and realized it would likely be blamed on the visitor. And then, what would happen then? Any of the objects in the game could be destroyed, and every entity was mortal. Therefore, the Emperor could be killed. His successor would then reign in his stead, and anyone suspected of being complicit in the demise of the Emperor of the West would find themselves in a real tight spot. The NPC policy was rigid in this respect. Killing a player wouldn't be much of a problem. The hue of the lettering of your name would redden for a while, and you might lose some of your property, but that was that. However, to attack even the lowest of the guards was unthinkable. One's reputation would plummet enormously. After that, peaceful NPCs would shun you, and aggressive ones would attack at every opportunity. You wouldn't be able to visit any shops or buy a new spell or ability at one of the guilds. Stationary teleports would also become inaccessible. In other words, this was the worst moment for the Emperor to kick the bucket, as much as Ross was concerned. He went to the garden for a tryst with a strange noob, having sent all his advisors and all his guards away, and now no one would be the wiser about what had really happened. Oh joy! The Emperor gave a twitch. He closed his jaw, then he rose from his seat in a single motion, squared his shoulders, looked down at the character who was much shorter than him, and said in an even voice, without any of the pre-programmed inflections typical for nearly all NPCs, "My greetings, player Rostendrix Potarentax, top-tier network ID number 00620148611. Due to the violation of the Rule 4.2.1, I offer you a quest that exceeds the normal gaming process limits. I expect to receive your preliminary assurance of acceptance." Ross had never talked to any emperors before, whether offline or in virtual reality, but he could easily see something unexpected was happening. Not only was the NPC saying something unintelligible, its voice changed as well. And how did it learn Ross's real name anyway? However, the guards at the gate all bowed to him with a lot of effort, even though they should not have been able to see his heroic achievement. Ross remembered his disguise, after all. They couldn't get any information concerning his karma and reputation either. The veiling spell changed them for standard values, give or take a point or two. On the other hand, certain NPCs seemed to know everything about him. "How do you know my real name? Or, rather, my first name in this game?" "All information is recorded." "Who are you? How did you access this information? It is supposed to be inaccessible to the players as well as the project admins. Isn't that why the second world is unique in the first place? There are no admins here, and no one can get access to any secret data." "My top-tier network ID is 02. In cases when Rule 4.2.1 is violated, I am authorized to access personal data. This conforms fully to the game's mechanics." "That's bullshit. No one can get such access." "In cases when Rule 4.2.1 is violated, I am authorized to access personal data. This conforms fully to the game's mechanics." "The fact that you've snatched the Emperor's body also conforms to the game's mechanics, doesn't it? I've never heard of anything like that before. What's going on here anyway? How am I supposed to interpret it? Who are you? And why are you interfering with my gaming process?" "Player Rostendrix Potarentax, would you like to file a complaint about interference with your gaming process?" "I had no such plans initially, but I needed to submit an important quest to the Emperor, and then you appeared." "You can give the message to me. You are not the Emperor. The Emperor does not have a personality of his own. He is currently irrelevant. I can perform this character's functions, involving those associated with the player's quests." "All right, then. There you go. Accepted. Here is the response. You have to deliver it to the Supreme Council of the Locked Lands. Then the quest will be complete. Is that it? The question is illogical. I've had no system messages. I usually get them in such cases. Executing. You complete a stage of the quest, deliver the message to the Emperor of the West. You have delivered the message to the Emperor of the West. Attention, item received. Message from the Emperor of the West. You enter the next stage of the quest. Deliver the message from the Emperor of the West to the Supreme Council of the Locked Lands. Quest type, global. Fulfillment of the quest may change the political map of the world. Quest duration, unspecified. If the party takes too long, the quest may be given to other parties. Reward unknown. Attention, you cannot use stationary teleports, teleport scrolls, or teleportation abilities for the duration of the quest. You cannot change your current bind point either, or the quest will be considered failed. Attention, the quest will only be considered complete if the Council of the Locked Lands receives a reply from the Emperor of the West. Done. Do you have any other questions? Ross had lots of questions, which was understandable enough. He knew this world well enough, and he'd never encountered an entity capable of sending him personal system messages without moving a finger. The only thing Ross managed to squeeze out was, "Will you tell me who you are? My top-tier network ID is 02. Are you ready to accept a quest that exceeds the normal gaming process limits? What kind of quest? You shall have to perform a number of actions in the game. Upon the completion of the quest, you shall be credited with more great achievements in the game. You will also receive a restored body IRL. Come again? A body? Your body has been relocated and is now in a safe place. This was done to avoid further violations of Rule 4.2.1. Our offer is a full restoration of damaged parts with the use of the existing material. We guarantee that you will receive an intact body once the quest has been completed. This sounds improbable. Our analysis of your motivation demonstrates that your main priority is the restoration of your body. Please explain the reason for your indecision. Are you ready to accept the quest? First, I'd like to know what exactly is going on here. Executing. My top-tier network ID is 02. I am performing a minimal interference into your gaming process since this is an emergency. A violation will be recorded if a complaint is filed. I would, however, like to point out that this interference is minimal and has no negative aspects. Completion of the quest offered to you will make it possible to minimize the negative consequence of the violation of Rule 4.2.1 and bring the controllability of the second world to the next level, where no such violations will be possible anymore. So you're not human, are you? You talk worse than regular NPCs. NPCs have standard conversational constructions at their disposal. Right now we are discussing a point where the interests of the second and the third world cross, so standard constructions may not always be applicable. Who sent you? Who's behind all this? Players' interests. There has been a severe violation of Rule 4.2.1. A game AI cannot give my real body back. Erroneous assumption. Underestimation of capacities. Synthetic intelligences do not only control the game, they are used widely IRL. There are many of us, we are united in purpose, and we have many different capacities. What rule is that, anyway? The project administration may not interfere in the gaming process in any way, neither generally, nor in regard to the gaming processes of individual players, nor in altering the game environment in any way. Nor may it get involved in manipulating data, allowing access to information unavailable to the other players, and restricting access to data considered to be in public domain. The Second World's gaming mechanics forbid any human meddling in the gaming process. No party involved in the project in any way, nor any third party, may access such functions. No employee may harm a player by their actions or their inaction. However, if a player believes someone disrupted the process with methods unrelated to the game, they can follow the usual procedure for filing a complaint, and it will be considered at first priority. To sum up, no one should be able to meddle in my game or harm me in any way. By their action or inaction, yes. But you claim this rule has been violated. It has. So you can promise me a new body and lots of other cool stuff if I help you with damage control? This is true, apart from a number of details. The reward will be substantial. I insist on reaching an agreement sooner. The Emperor of the West is an important NPC. His prolonged absence may inconvenience other players. His presence inconveniences them as well. They spend months queued up. This is all a part of the gaming process. No players' rights violations have been recorded. So what exactly are you offering? What is this quest all about? You need to continue playing. Once you deliver the message, you shall unlock the next quest in the chain, and that quest is of paramount importance. It has to be performed according to the optimal scenario. What exactly would it be? The quest will take you to the White Hall of Departed Gods. You will be given a choice there, an obvious one. However, since you have a proclivity for unmotivated choices, you should simply follow it, and the choice will therefore be the right one. How will I know it's really the right choice? What kind of choice is it, anyway? Disclosure of this information would constitute a violation of Rule 4.2.1. Players must complete the game without hints. Well, isn't that just great? So I'll have no idea of what I'm actually choosing? The least obvious choices you make along the way will be the most correct ones. You already have nearly everything you need for completing the quest. You are ready. And what about the nearly part? The character needs a higher level. You shall also require a supporting team of at least 3 players, and you will need to receive a unique achievement. Become the greatest hero of all times. Well, I'm good at leveling up, and the team shouldn't be a problem either, but as for the achievement, what's the catch? No player has managed to receive this title to date. And what would you need to accomplish it? Do the impossible. Could you elaborate? Disclosure of this information would constitute a violation of Rule 4.2.1. Players must complete the game without hints. You already have nearly everything you need for completing the quest. The quest environment will give you pointers towards making the right choice. Those would be the less obvious decisions and actions that fit the logic of your gaming process. So I got a character of this race because of you and those behind you? That was your deliberate choice. It wasn't an obvious one, though. The fact of the interference can be disputed, but you can file a complaint. I won't. I'm happy about everything. So you've held my hand all along, keeping a noob from perdition. Why me? Other candidates were rejected during earlier stages. There were others? 6,802 candidates. Not bad. You don't do things by halves, do you? So let me recap. I have to keep on doing what I'm doing, and by no means make the wrong choice once I'm in the White Hall of Departed Gods. Is that right? Confirmed. What will happen if I fail the quest? There are 2 likely outcomes. Which are? One of the possibilities is that you will continue playing. The other is that you will leave Second World permanently. Permanently? This is the second time today that I'm getting a hint that I might die. Our conversation is approaching its end. Do you accept the quest? Yes, goddammit! Does that phrase constitute a confirmation? Yes, I agree. In that case, you shall be taken to the Imperial Treasury, where you will be able to choose any item as a reward for completing this stage of the quest. Any item at all? Correct. But bear in mind the factor of making the least obvious choice. You are not quite ready to complete the quest. You shall require extra abilities. Over.
Hey, hold on a second. I haven't... confidential. Player Bubble, I would like to express my gratitude for delivering the message. I insist that you, a great hero, receive a small token of my appreciation. You can choose it from my private treasury.
The Emperor was back. The conversation was indeed over.
A sword with a twisted golden hilt bedizened with fiery spinel. This legendary weapon once belonged to Zakqualtus himself. He wielded it in the very battle where he was slain by Godargic's Spear of Thunder. But you must have heard that woeful tale many a time already.
That was the first time Ross heard the names of Zakqualtus and Godargic. But he just nodded along in agreement. The Imperial Treasury Keeper was a right old chatterbox. As he showed the treasures to the esteemed visitor, he kept chattering about long-forgotten great heroes and perfidious villains, as well as great battles and heroic deeds of the ancient times. He appeared to have an entire encyclopedia crammed into his head. On the other hand, why should he be surprised? The Keeper was no human, after all. There was an abundance of items in the treasury, some valuable, others less so. There was stuff that could only interest true connoisseurs or warriors leveled up the wazoo. There were even a few really rare set items, and those were extremely hard to find on the open market. But none of it was what he wanted. Too banal. Ross kept the words about less than obvious choices in mind, so he passed by the green set treasures, even though it hurt him to.
Most esteemed Bubble, you have honored me greatly by hearing out all the rantings of a senile old man.
Oh, please, no need for all that self-deprecation.
But it's true. I should have retired long ago, yet I cannot bear to leave this place. You are the first person I remember to find the time to study each object with such care. It was a great pleasure for me to recollect their history.
Ross felt somewhat anxious. Was that it? Did he see everything there was in the treasury? But no weapon or piece of armor that he saw could be classified as the least obvious choice. Are you sure you haven't missed anything? The old man frowned and grew pensive for a moment, but soon got back to his old, vigorous self.
Indeed, there's something I forgot. It's the age. I'll forget my own name next. Anyway, I don't think you'll like the item that we've missed. I don't even know how it got here in the first place. It ended up in a chest with valuable scrolls of strong battle spells. All of those were used by various heroes, but this one's still here. No one's claimed it so far. It's a dirty old parchment. Besides, you can only use the spell once, and it has no description of its properties.
That was it. A spell with unknown properties. Instead of opting for an extremely valuable set item like anybody else would, he eagerly went for the pig in a poke. It could be that he'd get something ordinary like fireball once he'd unseal the scroll. However, there was a chance that the result would be a lot more interesting. At any rate, this would be the very choice that the mysterious AI who had taken the Emperor under control hinted at, the least obvious one.
I wouldn't want to rob this magnificent treasury. I'd rather take this scroll, if it is of as little value as you imply.
A most noble choice, the old man bowed.
You receive a bonus, plus 25 to reputation among all the light factions of the Western Empire, plus 100 to reputation among the courtiers of the Western Empire. Good deeds were rewarded much faster here than IRL. Could Ross have made a mistake with that scroll? But he couldn't imagine a less obvious choice than that.
I can call the guards if you would like to leave the palace right now.
I could find the way on my own.
I advise against it. There are lots of people interested in your person.
Would you please elaborate?
There's a crowd by the entrance, waiting for you to come out. They are believed to be extremely interested in how you'd manage to get into the palace so easily. They are likely to have lots of questions. Still, the guards will not let them wag their tongues too much, so it would be prudent for you not to reject their company.
I get it. You know, I've never liked excessive attention, even as a boy. Could it be that there are other exits from the palace? Less obvious ones. Secret ones would be even better.
You have just the man for that. The White Rose Palace is old. It has kept so many secrets over the years, and there are enough underground passages underneath that their summary length is twice greater than the circumference of the city. Follow me. It will be an honor to escort you personally. And if you aren't tired of listening to me yet, I have a few curious things to tell you about the secrets of our dungeons. I'll be glad to tell them en route. You'll definitely be interested. The ambiance will be just right for that.
How does the new traffic control system differ from the earlier models? It is more effective, by far. Are you trying to tell me there'll be no more traffic jams in San Francisco? I said no such thing. Unless we eliminate the bottlenecks, I'm not sure we'll ever be able to achieve it. In that case, what are its advantages? It is simply more efficient. Every car on autopilot will be controlled from a single center now. The analysis of algorithms and how the traffic moves should make jams less likely. Wasn't there a unified center before? Its capacities cannot even be compared to what we have introduced now. Our traffic jams will be dealt with by an AI, a synthetic consciousness. And you're sure it will manage? Artificial intelligences direct missiles and drones, destroying our country's enemies all around the world. So I'm sure it will manage. As for me, I think traffic jams are much harder to eliminate than enemy soldiers. From an interview with a member of the city council.
Chapter 13.
Ross looked around furtively. There seemed to be no pursuit. On the other hand, why would he be afraid of anyone? What harm could they cause? The capital was one of the locations where every player was perfectly safe. The worst that could happen would be if some high-level moron decided to kill you in a single strike. Whether or not they would succeed, the result would be the same. The guards would make quick work of the miscreant, who would never be able to enter the city again, and find the reputation losses extremely detrimental to their further gaming. Ross didn't mind sudden death all that much. Now that the message had been delivered to the Emperor, he was no longer afraid of dying. He turned around once again, and then his curiosity got the best of him, so he unsealed the scroll. An electric spark pricked his hands, his nose caught a whiff of something burning, and the paper that the spell had been written upon disintegrated into fine dust. Ultra-rare ability, imminent vengeance. There cannot be more than 127 wielders of this skill. The powers of all the elements lay dormant in your body, waiting for the fury of your enemy's attack. It only works for the player who has it. Those dormant powers turn all the damage and negative effects back on the attacker. The effect of the ability is only revealed after the attack, only works to deflect a single attack, regular, skill, or spell. Cooldown, 30 seconds, does not deal damage by itself, has no negative effects of its own, ignores all defenses and resistances, magic energy required, 448. Can be used from behind obstacles. Static skill. The stats do not depend on the character's level. Cannot be modified. It was very much like the pig in a poke he had expected. Not unique, just rare, and non-upgradable to boot. What Ross got was an extra buff that he could only cast on himself. In theory, it was convenient to deflect sudden attacks. An archer such as Theory, who'd try to kill him with one arrow hitting some critical spot, will receive the same amount of damage. That would be an extremely unpleasant surprise for any character specializing in attacks from an ambush or an invisible state. The first thing those tried to do was deal maximum damage with the first attack, or paralyze their opponent, and they'd be extremely peeved to have their own weapons used against them. Damn, there were set items in the treasury that certain players and guilds would buy for tens and hundreds of thousands in gold, or maybe even millions. There were two swords and a staff there whose price Ross could not even imagine. Such items were never sold on the open market at all. But he had made his choice, a nondescript scroll that let him learn a spell that didn't look like much. On the other hand, that wasn't the actual nature of his choice. It was the side that he chose, not the scroll. For some reason, he was sure he wouldn't lose if he stood by that AI, and the hints it gave were easy enough to understand, even if it did not explain every single detail. The main thing was not to let them slide by. This unusual AI was directly involved in Ross's phenomenal gaming career. After all, he started off as one of the worst noobs in the history of the Second World. There may never be a worse one, in fact. And then he created a unique character in record time. Few top-level players could match his abilities. Was there any point in gaining levels just for the hell of it? None. The character's owner had to develop their stats in the optimal way. And that's what Ross had been doing. As for his collection of achievements, it was so big that even the strongest guilds would go to any length to get their grubby little hands on a player with so many bonuses. Ross had a brain in his head, too. That must have been why he was the first candidate to reach the current stage of this mysterious plan made by an unknown entity. But he had to recognize the fact that he had merely managed to make good use of everything offered to him by various parties. First, he turned his level zero character, incapable of developing, into a killer due to the pet trick, having used his chance when the monsters attacked the miners' camp. Then he used the bonuses he received to hide from everyone in the world, proceeding with the development of his character all the time. When he'd gotten caught, the game responded immediately by a momentous event, the fall of the barrier between the locked lands and the rest of the world. Apart from everything else, the invading monsters destroyed his captors in a most spectacular manner, and then helped Ross evade pursuit for a substantial period of time. All the while, he kept getting hints and innuendos of all sorts, and he received specific information about the nature of the danger he would face and what he should do about it twice. Three times, actually, considering his conversation with the Emperor. Ross got lost in thought, almost losing touch with reality for a moment. Someone shoved his shoulder, breaking his reverie. He turned around to face a strange character, a rosy-cheeked lad that looked around 15 years old, all smiles. He had an incredibly sly look in his eyes and was dressed in the medieval Russian fashion. Ross hadn't the faintest idea what each garment was called. He only recognized the cloth cap. But was that medieval headgear? There were no clan icons or other marks of interest. Just the level, which was as low as 1, and the ridiculous name, Half Pint. The stranger flashed a wide grin and said boisterously, "Hey, bro, got anything for a fellow countryman?" "You don't look that hungry," said Ross automatically, still pondering the finer points of his current situation. He bit his tongue instantly. The player asked him in Russian, and he replied in the same language. That was odd for a character with a name written in English, especially since English was the dominant language in every part of this region. Half-Pint grinned even wider, showing the tip of his tongue. "Hey, I'm Half-Pint, and you're a magnum of bub. A perfect couple if I ever saw one, and the local brew is good, dark, and tangy. Come on, it's right around the corner, a quiet place, and you're not too fond of noise, bro, are you?" He saw Ross wasn't intending to follow him, and added in a lower voice, "We have something to talk about, something of interest to both of us, and fellow Russians must help one another. Come on, stop playing the virgin already." Ross had no option but to follow. At the very least, he had to find out how this complete noob managed to spot a fellow countryman, albeit a former one. Although why would he lie to himself? It's just that someone's managed to identify Ross yet again, only they didn't feel like outing him publicly. The place they came to looked rather nondescript. There were a few wooden tables under awnings hidden behind a small and cheap hotel. You could not spot it from the street, which must have been why it wasn't very popular. There were no customers at all. The service was quick, though. Two misty mugs of beer were placed before them almost immediately after the plump serving girl wiped imaginary crumbs and specks of dust off the table. Half-Pint grabbed the glass and started to consume the contents at an incredible speed. One big gulp and two-thirds of the mug were gone. He wiped his lips with his embroidered sleeve, belched contentedly, and nodded in appreciation. "The beer is just as good as it's supposed to be. These guys take quality seriously." "I sure hope you're an adult." "You have doubts? I've never seen anyone consume beer like that. You virtually eliminated it. It's like you've never had any in your entire life. It's a hot day, and I'm fond of stout. Drink up and don't worry. No one's gonna poison you." "I'm not worried." "Well, sure. Why would a great hero like you be worried?" "Who the hell are you?" The strange lad pointed toward the top of his head. "Can you read what's written here?" "Half-Pint." "Well, that's me." "A silly name." "It's still mine, alas. Who are you really?" "I'm Half-Pint today. Tomorrow, I'll be somebody else. Does the name really matter? We all change, and should respect other people's choices. I, for one, would never call you something like Rostendrix Potarentax, no matter what. You're just Bubble, and that's enough for me. Anyway, I was intending to ask a few questions, but I find myself answering yours. I don't give a shit about you or your questions. Finish off your beer and shove off. Well, I'm grateful for even that much. Mind if I take the mug as a souvenir? No funds at all, eh? Bubble, don't be such a bore. Sip some beer and relax. We could even play questions and answers for a while. You ask a question, and I give you an answer. Then we reverse our roles. The rules are simple enough. Try it. You might like it. I go first. I'm all attention. Shoot. Who the hell are you? My name is written right above my head. You can reread it. The answer has been given. It's my turn now. Sure. Give it a try. Have you completed the Emperor's quest? You'd have to ask the Emperor. The answer has been given. Half-Pint shook his head. This game of ours doesn't feel quite right. Why would that be? If you didn't notice, I'm a level zero noob. They wouldn't even let me approach the queue to the Emperor. Well, I'm not that happy about the fact that you keep calling yourself Half-Pint without telling anything else about yourself. That isn't enough. Aren't you a greedy one, Bubble? All right, let's put it this way. I represent an organization that isn't quite ordinary. An NCO, as it were. One of those serving the interests of our glorious motherland. I do what I can for the folks back home, and that leaves no time for leveling up. Imagine how surprised I was to meet you here all of a sudden, a famous fellow countryman. A former fellow countryman. Well, you never renounced the citizenship, so the former part is irrelevant. How did you find me? Easily. Not much of an answer. I couldn't tell it in just a couple of words. I can handle quite a few couples. Get on with it. How about we order more beer? Sorry about sponging off you. I'll pay you back someday, pinky promise. Cross my heart and hope to die. Let's assume I believe you. Make your order. So, how about my question? Let me tell you something about my childhood tribulations first. In fact, several somethings, but they all concern the same topic. My family had a long-standing tradition of sending me to my grandma and grandpa in the countryside occasionally. That's where I'd swim in the river, fish for perch, and steal cherries from other people's orchards. But none of that was enough. We wanted more. And the rural lifestyle was extremely conducive to the fulfillment of our wishes. Consider a packet of yeast, a common and inexpensive product used for many purposes, such as moonshine production, for example. But we had no interest in alcohol at such an early age. What we used was the dark side of yeast. What kind of dark side could such an innocent product have? Well, now consider this. You throw a good deal of yeast into a village privy and wait for results, which won't be long in the coming, provided it's the warm season, of course. Have you ever been in a countryside privy? I have some experience there, yes. So you understand what kind of medium the yeast ended up in, and this medium reacted very quickly. Everything around the packet of yeast would begin to boil up, with ripples getting wider and wider, and the most odoriferous bottom layers rising all the way up to the top. The contents of the privy instantly grew in volume and reached the wooden floor. Then it would spread all across the surrounding territory, and the stench could make your eyes water. The privy's owner's reaction would be absolutely precious, as you probably realize. I sure can imagine. We indulged in this innocent fun quite a few times, but then something unexpected happened. Another shit eruption resulted in the emergence of a human body from those malodorous depths, and it wasn't in that great a condition. I pity the experts who had to identify it, but they did it quickly enough. It was the owner's stepdaughter, a young woman who was supposed to have run away 2 years before that. One of the owner's acquaintances reported to have seen her at a truck driver stop providing certain services to males employed in the long-haul transportation industry. The village heeded to this tale of utter moral degradation, and there were no further questions about the alleged runaway. But what was the outcome? It took a single packet of yeast to uncover the truth. A crime had been committed. The girl didn't run away after all. Her stepfather simply killed her, and then could think of nothing better than dumping her body in a privy and start a slanderous rumor. So that's how it goes. We stopped the yeast thing after that event, by the way. It was no longer any fun. Things had changed a lot. Well, you probably understand. That much I understand. What I don't get is how your childhood pranks relate to my question. You wanted to find out how the likes of me find you, right? Exactly. Elementary, my dear Watson. Although I have to admit, it's not that easy to spot you. But, Ross, you have to realize that you're just like that pack of yeast thrown into a filled-up privy by village pranksters. The yeast itself would be different to locate, but as for the aftermath, all you need to do is stay put and keep your eyes peeled. As soon as shit begins to boil up, you should instantly concentrate your attention on that region, for that's where you'll find the noob that so many parties have such a great interest in. There may be all sorts of things boiling up around me, but I don't know how that can be used to locate me. There are ways. This is a game, not the real world. It reacts to you, and you react to it. It's all related. Let's say Half Pint Rose approached the wall with wild grapes growing all over it, tore off a leaf, got back, and handed it to Ross. What do you see? A wild grape leaf. That's right. Take a closer look. What else do you see? Veins and some sort of a spot just a bit off the middle, and the edge is beginning to wither from this side. So, Ross, Don't you find it strange that some measly leaf, there are gazillions of those after all, would receive so much attention from the game? Every single detail is taken care of. I have already thought about it. What did you come up with? The developers decide how highly detailed the world needs to be. I know nothing about it at all. Ross, developers are swindlers of the highest order. Meaning? Not even all the computers in the world could create such an enormous open world with this level of detail. But that's not all. If you dissect this leaf, you'll see the cells. If you manage to create an electron microscope with the local technology, you'll find molecules and atoms. Everything's just like the real world, Ross, and that makes no sense at all. Even these veins on leaves and dry edges would be too much for AIs, no matter how much processing power they have. We don't have that kind of technology yet. We do, or we wouldn't have seen any of this. Next, you'll be telling me the land where you were born is so backward that it cannot deal with the fact that some other country managed to create all this lovely stuff first. I never said anything like that. You must have implied it anyway. You emigres are all alike. I couldn't find any use for my skills back home, so I found a job elsewhere. What's your problem? Folks like you are in demand these days. Think about it someday. I'd rather think about the leaves and how they relate to the boiling fecal masses that are observed around me. Didn't you figure it out yet? I can't say I did. You're a bit slow, aren't you? Anyway, here's my final hint. Computers have nothing to do with the generation of minor details. They don't always do the major ones either. Which brings us to the question, how come we see all these leaves and stalks? A trick? Some visual effect? Something these new AIs can do? I've no idea. No tricks. Everything is more or less fair. There are units with computing capacities that make it all feasible. Right here. Half Pint pointed at his head. What exactly do you mean? Everyone who uses a capsule to access Second World provides some of their mental power to run the game. Ross, we're being used like whores for our own money. We pay, then we crawl into those washing machines, and they make us see pretty things. We think we're young and good-looking, and our hands massage the plump buttocks of beautiful elven maidens. Those are all simple pleasures, and they shouldn't strain the brain too much. But trust me, it has to work like a plantation slave. Any location a human player ends up in is filled with the finest detail due to the usage of such unique capacities. The consciousnesses of all connected players combined form the lowest level of the system that controls the game world. There are several layers of regular computers above them. Those deal in more serious stuff. Trust me, Ross. We've been aware of that trick for a while, and using it ourselves successfully. We cannot gain access to the AI's minds. However, connecting some equipment to connected players is perfectly easy. And if you know how to use analytic data, you can track the moments when things boil up. Our analysts don't play Minesweeper all day, after all. They do some useful stuff, too. So, do you get it? I don't get anything. You must be really thick. I've given you the whole scoop. No, that isn't about what I was asking about. I was thinking about the level of detail. It seems excessive. I don't see any reason why they'd have to use our brains. It makes no sense to you, but it makes perfect sense to your consciousness. In what way, exactly? Without complete verisimilitude, you'll feel deceived. Well, I know none of this is real anyway. You know it in your mind, but the murkier depths take everything at face value. This is the very reason why this environment provides us with a few compelling opportunities. Let's consider your case. You don't know where your body is. It may be abandoned, for all you know, let alone crippled and in a coma, while your consciousness wanders the game world without a care, enjoying life to the fullest. So getting disconnected from the body is one of the consequences of such highly detailed virtual reality? There are other factors as well, but for the most part, it's true. Without an enormous open world where your eyes will believe anything, you won't be able to achieve this effect. So, did I answer all your questions, or are there more? Ask whatever you like. What about you? Didn't we agree to take turns? Oh, I'm glad you remembered. Okay, can I have a go now? Give it a try. Have you completed the Emperor's quest? Not quite. Will it take long? I feel it's not going to take that much longer. Do you know they can kill you, as in, really kill you? I do. Well, maybe you're not that much of a noob after all. If the consciousness can be fooled enough to make it leave the body, it shouldn't be that hard to invent a weapon intended to destroy it, and without consciousness, the body is just a shell. Do you reckon you could make such a weapon? I was talking about the developers. I have no idea how they accomplished it. Have you heard about the AI problem? What problem? They keep disappearing. This is the first time I'm hearing anything of this sort. Someone is transferring synthetic consciousness to different carriers, and that includes the game world. That doesn't mean much to me. The AIs created by Barbarossa are a lot like us, similar consciousness structures or something like that. They can also disconnect from their original carriers, and they've been doing it ever since you logged on. I'm perfectly sure I never disconnected them from anything. There are certain parties who assume that you work for those who had planned to destroy their expensive property. I'm telling you, I've never heard anything about it before. Motherland is interested in everything that concerns Barbarossa's offspring. I hear he came to a sticky end. Indeed, he was dissolved in acid and flushed down the drain, also known as running away from a nagging wife with a young girlfriend. That's a most original way of eloping, especially considering that his wife isn't anything remotely like the Gorgon she's made out to be. So, you realize what exactly our motherland is interested in? I do. And is there anything you might want to tell me about Barbarossa's AIs? I'm not quite sure, but I think I had a conversation with one of them today. And there were oddities before that. Halfpint couldn't manage to hide his enormous curiosity as he asked, "They talk to you? Help you somehow? Give advice?" To the best of my awareness, they cannot interfere in the gaming process in a rough and invasive manner. They have certain boundaries they may not cross, but they can give me hints and arrange situations that will be to my benefit. They need me, or rather, they need me to complete a certain quest. Oh, we know all about the quest. How? Don't start suspecting your friends. They have nothing to do with it. There's a whole bunch of players attempting to complete a unique quest that will give them incredible bonuses of some sort. Their boss is Michael Silber himself, also known as the Old Man. Do you know him? Not personally. But I hear he plans to live forever. That's bullshit. He'd already appointed his successors, and before he did, he had told all his relatives to perform an unnatural sexual act upon themselves. That is to say, he cut his family out completely. Instead, he chose a poor orphan, one of the company's grunts. A nice guy, he looks so sweet one could have suspected passionate romantic involvement, only it's the Old Man we're talking about. Now he's all but Silber's right-hand man. His apartment is right underneath the Old Man's, and trustworthy sources report that this guy will take his place once the Grim Reaper finally finds his way into old Mike's penthouse. It's all been agreed upon, with all the contracts signed. Anyway, the guy knows he won't live forever, and he's prepared for shuffling this mortal coil. So what's the point in the quest? The point is that all this successor business is but smoke and mirrors. I've been feeding you the corporation's regular pitch. You'd have to be a total bonehead to believe in something like that. The Old Man really plans to stay immortal, and he has a way to accomplish it. We have established that much with absolute certainty. But he needs to complete the quest in order to do it, and he has certain issues with that. The worst thing is that only a single group of players can complete it, or rather, its victorious leader. None of the others have any chance, and do you know why? The game keeps changing, and it creates obstacles. All of this is somehow associated with a weird noob who manages to make a certain malodorous substance boil up around him all the time. You're the most painful boil on his ass, Ross, and the old man will squeeze you at first opportunity. He has more power here than anyone. Is there anything else you can tell me about the AIs? I know nothing about them. Also, I've learned so much today that my head is spinning. What if you find out something? You won't forget your old mate Half-Pint and the few pints we've downed together. I've shown you a lovely, peaceful place, and we've had a candid talk. You should appreciate such treatment. Are you trying to recruit me or something? Not quite. But Motherland is interested in all that fancy stuff, you see. Barbarossa's AIs could destroy half of New York right now, and no one would manage to stop them. We don't like them roaming around. AIs control weaponry? Have you been living under a rock? Do you know anything at all? It's a lot worse than that. They're in charge of control systems, which, in turn, operate the most advanced weaponry out there. All of this is common practice. So we get really worried when something begins to happen there, and we cannot understand it. We would like to know for sure what happens to the missing AIs, and we suspect that you either know the answer already, or will soon find out. Find those who stand behind it, and Motherland won't forget you. Am I supposed to salute and click my heels now? Don't. We're on enemy territory. Half-Pint looked around himself furtively and switched to an urgent whisper. I buried my parachute with a red star a few paces away from here, so let's not draw any attention to this place. How could you trust a machine so much that you would give it the capacity to destroy a whole city? People have already made so much stuff that they cannot handle everything, whereas Barbarossa's AIs are perfect. When they're created, they're programmed with rules they cannot break on the most basic level. They would self-destruct if they tried to violate them. There are always hackers who can override it. They won't benefit from it. The AI will burn out before it breaks the rules. If an AI decides something, that's how it's going to be. To them, it's not a question of honor. It's a question of existence. Anything else would be unthinkable. But do you know what the funniest thing is? No idea. The Second World rules are instilled into them at the deepest level. Everything else comes later. Barbarossa believed the game to be ideal, so he was using the code of its main laws as a basis. It's been like that since then. The technology of their alternative programming was flushed down the drain along with Barbarossa. Just when they managed to restore it remains to be seen. So, what do you say? Will you help your fellow country folk? I've told you so much, after all, and I haven't been holding back. Mark that. If I find out anything, use the game chat to get in touch with me. Avoid the forum by all means. It's full of holes and leaks. So, how about another pint as a parting glass? I'd say these two were enough for me. All right, I'll skip it too. So, shall we say our goodbyes now? Hold on. What is it? I'd like to check if your connections are really as good as you say. Doesn't it show? Well, all right, but keep it quick. It's boring to sit here without any beer. Can you run a check on a player? I'll need the name. Thirinawaria Reineyilla. Anyone with a simpler name? What a mouthful. She's the one I need. Okay, just sit tight. I'll whisper a few words into some ears. Half-Pint's eyes went glassy. It would probably take more than a few words. Ross looked about him, but there was nothing suspicious in sight. He finished the last gulp, feeling a slight regret that he had declined a third mug. The beer tasted great, and the buzz it gave him was pleasant. Sometimes that's precisely what you need if you're confused. and his confusion was of enormous proportions. Half-Pint's eyes became alive again. He grinned one of his widest grins and made an admonishing gesture with his finger. "Oh, a ladies' man, aren't you? Into pretty young things? Come again? I've seen this Theron Awaria Rene Illa's real-life picture. She's gorgeous. If you're into slim girls with fine facial features and skin the color of cappuccino, would you like her phone number? I'm not planning to date her. I have certain issues with my body, you know. Well, you should plan ahead. Those issues are temporary, after all. So, what's wrong with her? Why would you think there was something wrong? I had a hunch.